thankful for that. And I think it's good for our kids to spend time and have opportunities. One of the counselors asked me how come we've gone back so many years in a row and don't know, next year maybe we'll change and go to a different camp, things like that. And I said, well, one of the things we enjoy is, I know some of our young people enjoy getting to know the college kids that are counselors are there, but also they enjoy getting to know and meet new friends. I think it's good that they be around other young people. And I think even it's good if they're around other young people that maybe they're a little bit more mature than spiritually to help the other young people, but also to be around those that are that they can learn from. And there's both groups of people that are there. But I think it gives them a chance to have a good testimony. And I've seen that, especially with most of our kids being the older kids now, had gone for a number of years already. I see how there is a testimony for our young people that they leave. The preaching was very good. Very thankful for that. And Brother Ed Loney did a good job. Don't want to tell all the stories because I know the guys are going to talk a little bit about it. We took the new bus with us, and it made life so much easier. It was much nicer. Thankful for that. Thankful for that opportunity. Thankful for Mr. Bateman driving. That was the only bummer, is that he was the only one that could drive it, so he had a longer trip than the rest of us. We also added something to the trip on Friday. We got the chance to go to the Ark. I don't know if any of you guys, most of you have heard of the Ark before. It's in Kentucky. It's only about 3 hours away from the camp, but it's 11 hours away from here. So while we had the opportunity, we had talked to the parents and kind of made that a last-minute addition. It was really a great, great place to go. It was truly amazing. I'd encourage you to go someday if you had the opportunity. I know some people have mentioned about wanting to go as a church trip. And, you know, whatever that, however that can work out is fine. But it helped build my faith in seeing that I believe the Bible, but it shows a demonstration that this was completely feasible and this was, could be done and how it could be done. And it was, like I said, it was very, very good. And I enjoyed it immensely. And I think the young people enjoyed it also. Only problem was we added on to the end of camp and we were all already tired. A couple of the young people that day struggled a little bit because of not feeling well, but they all enjoyed the Ark and they all felt fine while they were there. And so we're thankful for that. I do want to say thank you to my wife and Mr. Bateman for being there and a help and a blessing. Thank you for those who help sponsor some young people. And thank you for a church that understands that the pastor goes away. And, you know, Brother Barton was here Wednesday night. And from what I heard from different people, he did a good job. Thankful for him being here with us too. But thank you for your part in investing in these young people. When you hear them sing tonight, when you hear them give testimonies, when you hear Christian preach, this is an investment that we're making into the young people, and that's what camp is about, is we want to invest into them. Is it something we have to go to? No. Is it something that we should go to? I think so. Yes, we give them the chance and to go, and it is a blessing that they learn. So we're going to have our young people come up and sing now. This is most of our young people and some of the counselors, not all of them. So...
The Lord is good, His mercy endureth forever and ever to all generations. So I will stand up and sing praise, hallelujah, for I know the Lord is good. The Lord is good, His mercy endureth forever and ever to all generations. So I will stand up and sing praise, hallelujah, for I know the Lord is good.
You are my friend for so
long. You were right and I was wrong. I can repay you all the love you've given me. You were my friend when no one cared. I was alone, but you were there. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life, Make it what you have it be. I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Borrow treasures, borrow dreams, all that joy you've given me. When troubles come, you're always there to make me smile. So come what may, thy will be done. I love you, Jesus, God's only Son. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life, make it what you have it be. I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Well, I'd first like to start off with thanking my church family for making this even possible to go to camp. I'd like to thank those that sacrificed, giving money, giving time, especially with the bus. The bus was really good, 10 times better than what the van was. I'd also like to thank Mr. Bateman, my dad, my mom. I'd like to give a big shout out to my dad. I didn't do that last year, but I did? Okay. They were awesome. Yeah. I'd just really like to thank the church for just everything that you guys have done for us, making us be able to, letting us be able to go to a place that helps us grow in the Lord and seeking Him. My favorite things about camp, there was a lot of them. There is a really cool picture on my mom's phone. It's of a game that Marcus played. Camp has a lot of fun games, and some of them are weird. Marcus had a piece of cord. I'm going. Let's skip that one. Okay. Well, I like the pool, playing water football. We had a basketball tournament. We came in third place in that. Special music. We sang as a church there. And, I also enjoyed playing volleyball. All of our church played, and you might not think that we're that good, but we came in third place overall inside the whole camp, so I was pretty impressed with that. Now, if you remember last year inside my testimony, the preacher preached for 3+ hours on the last night. Well, thank goodness, Ed Loney only preached for 40 minutes for his longest. So that was really nice. The Lord spoke to my heart in a couple situations. And what really he spoke to me was, God brings us into situations in our lives where it's just not where he's speaking to us. He's given us the stuff and then for us to give to the other people also. And there was another sermon that God spoke to my heart about was, when the preacher told us to draw nigh to God, there may be something that you have to set down, but if you want to draw closer to God, you'll be having to give up stuff. Put down more stuff for then God to go and put stuff in your hands that are even better than what you were thinking that you had before. I'd also just like to thank you again for letting us be able to go to camp. I'm waiting forward to next year and having a lot of fun. Thank you.
First off, I would like to thank the church for allowing us as a youth group to attend Mount Moriah Christian Camp this past week. Also for sponsoring teenagers that sometimes can't afford to go to camp. You've made a wise investment as a church, allowing our youth group to go hear solid biblical preaching. I'd like to thank Miss Amy and Pastor Pease for allowing me to spend the night before camp at their house. I'd also like to thank my dad for not killing us through the curvy roads of West Virginia. But thank you all for taking a lot of time out of your work week to come spend time with us crazy kids. For some reason you did. But anyway, thank you for that. This week I had a blast with Christian, Andrew, Dad, Pastor Pease, and Daddy, a.k.a. Marcus. We'll keep it at that. Anyway, this week, we learned some very cool things. We learned Marcus had the coolest slippers in the whole camp. Pastor was a great pickle spitter. And David carried grilled cheese sandwiches and popcorn into battle. And this week, we heard lots of great preaching by Brother Ed Loney. Monday night, Brother Ed preached out of John chapter 8 about how most of us are oblivious to our sins, and we treat these sins as our pet sins. Yet, they are nothing to play with. Sin will take you farther than you want to go in your life. That message really convicted me. Another message that convicted me was preached Tuesday night about David and Goliath, how most of us just want to beat the giant when we never have truly knocked them down in our life. And Brother Ed brought out something that I never really paid attention to, and that is, even when Goliath was down, David still ran. God also convicted me about being a better leader. It's not just enough to sit by. God needs just a few men to stand up for that which is right. Not only do we sit and hear great preaching, we also do other things such as scripture memorization, soccer tournaments, volleyball tournaments, basketball tournaments, swim and hike up the mountains, meet peculiar people, and play odd games. Last of all, I'd like to thank the church for allowing us to go through the Ark. That is certainly a memory I will never forget.
Okay, I guess I'm on. I hear myself. I'd like to also echo real fast. Thank you guys for allowing us to go. It was a lot of fun, and it's something I'll always remember the rest of my life, being able to go to camp. Please take your Bibles with me and turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. I'd like to talk to you guys tonight about the topic of the church we don't want to be like. The church we do not want to be like. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and the white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eye with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So, that passage right there to me is just really, really hard on this church. God is saying that they are poor, blind, naked, just really bad. And this church, most people believe, is the last church age. And many Bible scholars believe that this church represents this time period. This church age is characterized by wealth and prosperity, but is also characterized by its attitude. This church is neither cold or hot. It has not dedicated its life to Christ, But then again, it has also not dedicated its life to the world. In Revelation, it says that they think that they don't need anything, and they think that they are okay. But the Bible says, in reality, that they have nothing. This church age is very, very, very dangerous. And the Bible has nothing good to say about it. But in verse 17, it even says it again. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. God tells us that, and God says that about this verse. But in verse 19, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke. God, even though he rebukes this church and he does all this, God still loves this church. God still loves us. God loves this church, even though of all they've done. But there are some things that make God sick. The cold and the hot, not being there, the church thinking that they are okay, just makes God sick. And so let's look at some things that makes God sick in this chapter. Number one, apathy. The town of Laodicea was a beautiful town back in the olden times. It was very beautiful, set in a perfect location with trees. It lacked one thing, water. The Romans saw this problem and saw how prosperous the town was still. So they built two aqueducts, one from a town over here, which had cold water, and a town from over here, which had warm water, had really hot water. And so they thought, hey, let's combine the two waters outside of town, so when the aqueduct runs in, the water will mix and it will turn into cool water. So they did that. They built it. They mixed the water together. But the thing that happened was is that as soon as it got to the town, the water was nasty. It wasn't cold. It wasn't hot. It was that kind of when you're outside working, you get that drink and it's like, ugh, the water tastes the same as I feel right now. So they saw they had this problem, but the people there lived with it and they got along. But that water right there is just like the apathy in the church of Laodicea. Apathy means not having much emotion or concern. Apathy plagues our churches nowadays. People, they're there. They come to church, they sing the songs, they listen to the preaching, and then they go home. They go through their work, they go through a work week, and then they show up on Wednesday, they come to church, they sing the songs, they go back home. They come to the show back up on Sunday, but the rest of the week they're living like the world. And this water, of course, did not taste good, and this apathy is something that God really, really does not like. It makes him sick. It says it in the verse number, let's see here, it is 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The Bible says that they are uninterested in growing in their lives and their walks with God. They are kind of sitting on the fence. They're trying to make up their minds where they want to go. But they need to realize that they need to come back to Christ and that they don't need to go live in the world. The Bible says that they're going to get spewed. God's going to spew them out of his mouth. They don't show passion. They don't show a desire to reach the world. They are satisfied with their lives, with their money, and their job, and they think they don't need Christ to help with their needs. And because of this, it makes God sick. Most Christians nowadays are not on fire for God. They're not cold for God. They live in sort of a warmed up. They're not on fire. They're not out soul winning. They're not out witnessing every day. They're not out passing out tracts every day. They're not out reading their Bible and trying to learn and get stuff from God. But then again, they're not cold where they're not passing out anything, where they're not coming to church and they're not reading their Bible. They're in this intermediate phase. It's like they can't make up their mind what they want to do. But because of this, they have a problem witnessing, or they have this mindset where they think somebody else will do it. I don't need to do it. God will send somebody else and they can do the witnessing. I don't need to do it. I'm busy right now. I have other things to do. But this right here, they sit back and they think someone else will take care of it instead of going ahead and doing themselves, even though they feel God's prodding to do it themselves. And this right here is just like it. I watched a baseball game the other night, and there was this pop-up. It went high right up, right behind the pitcher's mound. Five guys came in to catch the ball, and they all backed up and just let the ball drop. They missed it completely. They had the perfect chance for an out that ended up actually making the other team win the game, but because all of them backed off, the ball dropped. And that happens in our Christian lives. We are witnessing. God tells us to go do something. God tells us to read our Bible. But we back off. We think somebody else will do it. They say they need a fill-in teacher. Oh, somebody else will do it. So everybody backs off, and all of a sudden there's no teacher. The witnessing. Oh, somebody else will go witnessing. Oh, somebody else will reach them. Everybody backs off, and all of a sudden the opportunity is lost. The Bible tells us that we can repent of this, though. And God, if we can repent of this and we repent zealously, God will forgive us. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So God gives this church a way out. Yes, they're lukewarm. Yes, they have all these problems. But God tells them that if they repent, he'll forgive them and that he loves them. And he wants to be with them. But this church, he can't be with them because they're lukewarm. And they have an apathetic mindset. And God can't dwell with that. Number two, they're blind. In verse 17, there are five things that God describes the church of Laodicea. He says that they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. But for sake of time, we're only going to look at blindness. The Bible says that the church thinks that they have everything they need. But in reality, they have nothing. They think that they're okay. They think that they're just fine. They're going along in life, feeling great, but really, and they think they have everything in. They got everything all put together, but in reality, God says they have nothing because they're trying to do everything on their own. They're doing it without him. The Bible says that the church thinks that they have everything they need, but in reality, they have nothing. They are blinded to where they don't even see their need. They're not interested with their walk with God. They are truly not interested in seeing their church ministries grow. The problem with the church of Laodicea is their apathy and their not really caring what happens turns into blindness to where they think everything's okay. They are truly in trouble. They didn't try to improve themselves. They don't try to further the ministry. They think everything is just good. They think that they are just fine. They think that they can go along and everything's going to work out for the good. Everything is going just great. But in fact, they don't even see that they're going the wrong way. They think that, and because of their apathy, they don't see where they need to get back on. But most churches nowadays blind themselves to what is going on. They think everything is okay. They're rich. I mean, we have beautiful buildings. I mean, we have great jobs. I mean, we have people that come in. But inside, there's barely anything being done for God. The people are blinded into thinking, I'm all right at the spot I'm at. God's happy with me where I'm at. I'm happy with myself where I'm at. I don't need to grow in Christ. But that's not the truth. That's what God tells us we need to try to push forward to get to where he's at. But this church sits back, thinks they're okay, and they never push out to try to reach. Their apathy starts to blind them to where they believe they're all right, but they aren't. For example, I'm saving money for college, which I am right now. Someone offers to pay me for half of my tuition. And I think, oh yeah, that's great. So I work a job and earn the other half of my tuition. I have time I have nothing to do with, but I quit my job because I don't need any more money. I blind myself to the fact that I'm going to need money after college. I'm going to need money to actually get an apartment. I'm going to need money to actually get a car and save for gas and maybe even buy a house someday. But if I just stop working because I don't need anything right now, I'm fine. I'm satisfied. I don't need money. But I blind myself to the fact that I'm actually in trouble and that after college I'm going to have no money and I'm going to have to get a loan or use a credit card, and that never ends out well. But that's what the churches do nowadays. They think, they go on, oh yes, we got the number we want right now. They stop soul winning. They stop doing other stuff. They stop pushing out. And then all of a sudden the church starts to die. And then the people wonder where it goes. Because they blind themselves to thinking that everything's okay and that normal is okay. And that they think that they can just go a certain amount, just stop, and they'll be happy that way. So, there is something here though. God gives, if the Church of Laodicea, back in the old times, they were known for something special. Something nobody else had because of the type of rocks that they had, type of stuff that they had. They had something that no other place had, and it was eye salve. God gives them an antidote for what their problem was. God gives them eye salve to help fix their eyes. And our eye salve nowadays is the Bible. We need to get in God's Word. We need to keep on reading. We need to keep studying to keep furthering ourselves in God's knowledge and God's Word so that we can keep building and growing ourselves as Christians so we don't blind ourselves to what's going on in the world like so many people like to do. They think everything's okay, but if you're in the Bible and you keep reading and you keep growing, you know that stuff nowadays is not okay, that the world is starting to fall apart. But people nowadays, they think, hey, everything's good. The churches, they think, hey, we're on the right path, we're doing good, but they don't see what they're doing. They're falling apart at the seams, but they don't even realize it. We need to realize that we need to live a life without being blind, which starts with not being apathetic, because apathy leads to blindness. But blindness we can fix by using God's Word, reading God's Word, and growing in God's Word. And number three, the thing that makes God sick is Jesus is outside the church. In verse 20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and I will sup with him, and he with me." The Church of Laodicea was apathetic, like we talked about earlier, and blind. But because of these things, Jesus is outside the church. Jesus can't dwell with the spiritual blindness. Jesus can't dwell with apathy. But the thing that characterizes this church from any other church is that Jesus is actually outside of it. Jesus was in all the other churches. Jesus, the one who died for us, is not even in the church. Jesus can't be where sin is. Jesus can't be with this church because of the sin that is so prevalent in it. He is knocking on the door and asking us to let him in. He wants to be with us. He wants to have fellowship with us. But right now, he is not even inside the Church of Laodicea because their apathy, their blindness. He's outside knocking, waiting for someone to wake up to him, wake up to his knocking, wake up to him asking to come in because he wants to have fellowship with us. He wants us to be. He wants the Church of Laodicea to be like the other churches. He wants to live. He wants to come in. He wants to have fellowship with them. He wants to sup with them. But because of their apathy and blindness, he can't come in. And that's the saddest thing. The Bible says that if anyone opens the door, Jesus will come in and have fellowship with him. And this might seem a little silly, but the question really is, do we want to have fellowship with Jesus? The Church of Laodicea was wishy-washy. They came to church, hey, yes, we want to have fellowship with Jesus. They go into the world, and they act like they don't even want him. They come in church, then they go out. The Bible says that he's knocking on the door waiting for us to let him in. That is why Jesus, who is the center of our service, is outside. He's outside because of our blindness and our apathy. Jesus says that if any man will open the door, he will come in. God wants to come in. He wants to be with us. But first, we got to get rid of the things that make him sick. And the Laodicean church was the last church. They say it in number 7, it's the last church. They say it's the last time period. They say after Laodicea is when Chapter 4 starts is when tribulation starts and the church is no longer here. So Laodicea is the last church, and God has a lot of bad things to say about it. But he still loves this church. He still wants to be with this church. He wants this church to repent and repent zealously so he can start having fellowship with them. God has promised those who can overcome this in verse number 21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." God promises this church that if they overcome and that they live like they're supposed to, and if they live a life worth him, life worth life, a Christ-like example, if they live like Christ, that means they can sit on the they can sit with God on his throne. God wants to bless this church and be a part of it, but this church is in sin. The Laodicean church is in sin. It needs to get rid of its sin for God to be able to come into it. It has turned away from it. It needs to turn away from its apathy and start caring about what God cares about and not the world. It has to apply God's eye salve so they can see and not be blinded. It needs to get into God's word and realize what the word says to where they can then start living for Christ. Jesus, who then ends up on the outside, is one who should be on the center of our services. And that makes God, and that really makes, I think that's one of the things that really makes God sick. Jesus, who is to be the center of our service, who but cannot dwell in the apathy and blindness that plagues most churches nowadays, is on the outside. And for a church to grow and for a church to become like God wants it to be, and to be a spiritual beacon to the world that's lost, Jesus has to be inside. Jesus needs to live on the inside of it. Jesus needs to have we need to have fellowship with Jesus to be able to do it. And that makes, and so we need to strive not to be apathetic, so then we will become, so then we will not become blind. So then we'll put on, so then Jesus will not be put out of our services. Because if we do, God will still love us. But if we don't, God will still love us, and he'll still wait for us to repent. But if we do, Jesus will come in, he'll have fellowship with us, and God can do amazing things with our churches. Dad.